Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages to you for 20 years now. And so we thank the Lord for this radio station. We thank the Lord for all the prayers, the provision, and most of all for you, the listener. If this is your first time tuning in today, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday schedule. And for those of you who've been with us for many years, we appreciate you. We say thank you to you. And we hope you also come back each and every Sunday and continue to stay with us and listen to these great messages. Today, we're going to be talking about Jesus, the living water. And so this will be the last message before Christmas, the day when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. And so I say to you today, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to your family and to your friends. I hope you have a great day. Here in Kenya, we'll be having a service at our church, a Living Water Church in Makunda. And so that will be a great celebration. Then we'll pass out food gifts. Bags of flour, bags of rice, and sugar. And so that will be a great celebration on this coming Thursday to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. So today, turn to John chapter 4, and we're going to talk about Jesus, the living water. Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message, just want to give you a brief update. What's going on here in Kenya, and we're just finishing up the crusade over in the village near Butere, and we had our first night last night. As I'm speaking today, we just finished our first night last night, and it was a very powerful crusade, many salvation decisions, hundreds and hundreds of people there. I expect today to be even bigger. I expect it to explode in the number of people that are coming and in the salvations, the people that respond to the message. And so we thank you for your prayers and for the support. Those of you who have sent support, we thank you for that. And we pray that the next 2 days are going to be mighty and powerful, and it's going to shake that village in ways that it's never been shaken before. And I was just thinking last night, I was watching the people celebrating and dancing after the altar call and after people had made decisions to follow Jesus. I was just thinking that this village is never going to be the same, that the kingdom of God is going to come in here and shake this place, and people will come to know Jesus in ways that they never have. There'll be a great revival among the churches. We're working with about 15 pastors. There'll be a great revival and a great move of God among the people out there. It's in a place about 20 miles away from Mumias, and so we are very happy to be going back for another 2 and possibly 3 more days. So thank you again for that. If you have supported the crusade, and keep praying as we schedule more crusades for after the first of the year. Well, today we're going to be talking about Jesus, the living water, John chapter 4, one of the great stories in the Bible. And so this is an appropriate message to go with the Christmas theme, because Jesus is our living water. And as much as we love the fact that Jesus was a babe in a manger, and the majesty and the story of him coming and being born in a manger to a Virgin Mary and his father Joseph and the father of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, it is even greater to talk about the life of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus, what he taught us, what he gave us as far as revelation concerning his life. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. And one of the great ways to describe Jesus is that he is water for our life. And you know, water is life. And so he is water for our life. And so if we look in this scripture, we're going to start here in verse 4, John chapter 4, verse 4. And it says that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. And so he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, which was the place where Jacob had dug a well there. And so Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was the sixth hour, or that's the middle of the afternoon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And for his disciples had gone away into town to buy food. And then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And so I'm going to stop right there and just say Samaritans were half-breeds. I guess you could say they were not pure Jews. They had people that had intermixed with pagan tribes around Jerusalem, around that area. And so they had no dealings with the Jews, and the Jews considered them to be untouchable or off limits. And so here's Jesus sitting here at this well, Jacob's well, and a Samaritan lady is there, coming there to get water, to draw water. And so Jesus asks her, he wants to engage her in conversation. He wants to get a conversation started with her because this is a divine appointment. And so he says to her, "Give me a drink." And then in verse 6, it says, "How can you ask for a drink from a Samaritan woman?" And Jesus answered in verse 10, this is one of the most profound scriptures in all of the New Testament. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And so this is a very profound statement. If you knew the gift of God, well, for those of you out there listening today who don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you obviously up to this point do not know the gift of God. But for those of you who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you confessed him, and many I know that are listening to this radio broadcast, you've been serving Jesus for many, many years. You've known him as your Lord and as your Savior. And so I'm going to explain to you the gift of God. So for those of you who are curious, or those of you who are just listening today for the first time, the gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the greatest Christmas gift, the greatest gift ever given to all mankind, the greatest gift that can't even be described. There aren't words even to describe it. The gift. God had a plan for mankind. God had a plan to redeem mankind back to him, and so that the sin of man, the fall of man, would not permanently, irreparably separate man from God. And so God had a plan. God was not taken by surprise when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. He knew that that would happen. He knew that there would have to be a plan to redeem mankind back to himself. And so he sent his only begotten son, the greatest gift ever given. He sent his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so that is the gift of God. That is the gift that Jesus is telling this lady about. She doesn't know about it. She has ideas, as we'll see later in this passage of scripture. She has ideas about the Messiah, the coming of Jesus. She knows, because she was in somewhat of a proximity to Jewish people, she had ideas about the coming Messiah, but she had never known Jesus personally. She'd never seen Jesus, obviously. And so he said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Well, beloved, just a little testimony from Kenya. We call our church here the Living Water Church of Macunda, and our ministry here in Kenya is Living Water Outreach Ministries, and we're registered with the country of Kenya. We're registered just as we're also registered in the USA as a 501c3 nonprofit charitable organization. Here in Kenya, we're registered with the society's registration at the Attorney General's office so that we can operate in Kenya, operate legally, and have the authority to establish churches, medical clinics, children homes, anything that falls under the umbrella of Christian charitable work. And so we are registered as Living Water Outreach Ministries. And that goes back to a dream that I had in about 2003. And I was praying and fasting in this dream, praying and fasting for 3 days. I had not eaten for 3 days and had drank no water for 3 days either. It was a dry fast. And so on the night of the third day, the Lord gave me a very powerful vision, and he took me up to heaven and set me down beside the river of life coming down out of heaven, Revelation chapter 22, the river of life coming down. And that river is for healing of the nations. There's trees on either side of the river with fruits, and it's for the healing of the nations. It's for the healing of people in the nations. And so I kneeled down beside that river, and an angel put a pitcher in my hand, and I was just dipping out of that river, and I was leaning back. My head was leaning back, and I was taking that water out of the river of life, and I was pouring that water down into my throat, down into my mouth. And that living water then became something that I personally knew from this experience. It was a very, very profound experience. I can remember it even to this day, just as if it happened yesterday. And so it was a very profound experience. And that living water then became something that I related to very personally. And so when we started our ministry over here in Kenya, I spoke with a pastor way back in 2015 about establishing a children's home here, a place where we could rescue abandoned or orphan children, children who needed a place out of the storm. And so we have that children's home. We have about 25 children here, but that children's home is called Living Water Children's Home. And then we started the church in the same locality, just a few meters, 100 meters from the children's home is the Living Water Church of Macunda. And so that is the ministry here, Living Water. And so Jesus said to this lady, give me a drink, and you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water. Well, the woman now is in a conversation with Jesus, which is what he wanted. He wanted to draw her in to a conversation. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And he was talking about that fountain of the Holy Spirit springing up out of a person, that fountain that just keeps coming up, that fountain that keeps filling other people's cup, that fountain that keeps filling other people's water jugs. And that fountain of the Holy Spirit is that water, that living water, that water of eternal life that springs up, and it springs up into everlasting life. And so that is the water, the living water that Jesus was talking about. Beloved, when you're thirsty, you have to look for a bottle of water. You look for some pure, clean water to drink. And so this living water, when you drink it, you will never thirst again, because it will be there for all eternity. It will well up in you for all eternity. Beloved, we have a spring out here at our children's home. If you ever come over to visit us here in Kenya, we always take visitors down to look at the spring, and we've developed that spring now. We have about 9,000 liters of storage tanks built down below the spring, and so we capture that water. We have a solar-powered pump that we pump the water up 300-400 feet to the children's home into an elevated 5,000-liter tank, and then from that tank, we run water all over the children's home to the livestock pens, to the caretaker house, into the children's home, and so that living water is a real presence on the living water compound, on the living water children's home compound. And it is a symbol, because that spring, we've been associated with it now for 10 years. That spring has never come close to drying up. It runs now, even today, 15 to 20,000 gallons a day. And so that spring is an everlasting source of water. It's a wonderful source of water. You can drink it. It's very pure, very clean, and very cool coming out of that bank, that side bank there. And so that is a symbol of the living water, the everlasting water that you will have when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Water is life. The living water from Jesus Christ is even more life than any earthly water. And so that is God's plan for your life, that you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you partake of the living water, and you will never thirst again. And so he tells that to this woman, and then he starts to get deeper into a conversation with her. She says in verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And then Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have well said, you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." And so Jesus now is prophesying over her. He's starting to tell her things that only somebody who is divine, only somebody that has godly wisdom and godly revelation could know about her life. And so she now is starting to understand that this person she's talking to is not an ordinary man. There's something divine about him. There's something very extraordinary and unusual about him. And so Jesus gets into her personal life. And so I want you to understand, beloved, that God knows every single thing about your life. It doesn't matter who you are or what you're doing. God knows every little detail of your life. Some of you have reputations that you're trying to uphold in the community, but there's things going on in your life that are not good, and you know that it's something that is separating you from God. There's some kind of sin that is separating you from God. And so God knows everything about your life, every detail of your life. And you may think that you can sneak around in the dark, commit adultery, or look at pornography, or whatever it is you're doing that is not of God, not worthy of God. God knows about it. He wants you to deal with it. Some of you, that is keeping you from salvation, because the guilt and the shame of that sin is keeping you from salvation, and you don't want to come to God. You're ashamed. You don't want to come into church. Your sin is separating you from going to church. Your sin is separating you from prayer. Your sin is separating you from studying your Bible. And so Jesus is digging into this lady's life, and now she understands that she is dealing with somebody who's divine, somebody that has revelation from the kingdom of God. And so she said to him, verse 19, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And then Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Well, that hour has already come. Beloved, we worship what we know because we know that salvation come through the Jews. We know that salvation came through Jesus Christ. And so we worship what we know. And there are people out there who worship idols. There's people who worship gods of false religions. There's people who worship all kinds of things. Idolatry is a mainstay of many people's lives. They worship football players. They worship celebrities. They worship their money. They worship all kinds of things that aren't gods. They're just demonic gods in many cases. And so Jesus said to her, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. And God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so in verse 23 again, Jesus said, the hour is coming. Well, beloved, the hour is here. It is time for every single person to respond to the gospel message. I believe there's going to be a great revival coming here on the earth. We saw it last night out there at the little village, a great revival coming into that village. I told some people after the message and after the altar call, I said, this village will never be the same. It's being shaken by this crusade. It's being shaken by the kingdom of God, and this village will never be the same. There will be people that will respond to the gospel message here, and they will never be the same. They will carry the gospel message with a fervor, with a zeal, and with a testimony that they never have before. And so that is God's plan for the whole earth, not just a little village in Kenya. That is his plan for the whole earth. And so Jesus is telling her the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Well, worship him in spirit, because God is spirit. We worship him in spirit. You can't see him. You can't see Jesus. But we know that God is spirit, and we know he is everywhere. The Holy Spirit, the Rosh HaKodesh, is everywhere, and the Holy Spirit is touching you today. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you today through this message. Some of you don't know Jesus as your Lord. Some of you have never confessed him. Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you've tried to be a good person. You've never confessed Jesus as your Lord. And so I urge you today, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today, convict you of your sin, and you need a Savior. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He shed his perfect, precious blood for you, that you could know him for all eternity, that living water would well up out of you into everlasting life. It would spring up out of you into everlasting life. And so that is God's plan for your life. Jesus is truth. True worshipers will worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so Jesus is the way. He is the truth. There's nothing about his life or his death or his resurrection that is not true. There's many things in life, especially now with AI and all this fake stuff on the internet and social media, made up stories, made up videos, made up pictures. Now we know Jesus Christ is more true than ever in a world that is shifting and changing and is like a kaleidoscope. But Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Well, to wrap up this story, this lady goes into town. She says, Jesus, I believe the Messiah is coming. And he says, the one who you're speaking to today is he. And so Jesus wrapped up this conversation and this interaction with this lady by telling her straight out, I'm the Messiah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I can give you that living water spring up in you to everlasting life. Well, beloved, that is the opportunity for you today. That is the call for you today. Come to Jesus, confess your sins, confess and repent of your sins. Let Jesus take over your life, and you will then have that living water. Beloved, I hope you make that decision today. Let me know if you make it. Pure Prairie at Hotmail. We can get some material into your hand, Pure Prairie at Hotmail, and we'd love to hear from you today. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We thank the Lord for all the opportunities, the blessings that He has given us. And we pray for every person listening that they would have a great Christmas and be thankful and grateful for what the Lord has given them today. You can contact us, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Love to hear from you today. Go to paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast. You can also check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Jim Rao. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down, write us out a check. Let us know you're listening. Include prayer requests if you have them, and we will be happy to correspond with you today. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.